This is Focus West Michigan for Thursday, December 18, 2025. I'm Joe Bilecki with your local news. Although a data center isn't currently being proposed in Grand Rapids proper, one commissioner wants city officials to start building a blueprint for regulating those facilities. WGVU's David Limbaugh has the details.
As we know, data centers present a unique and growing challenge for local governments. While they are often categorized as industrial or warehouse uses, their scale, energy demand, water consumption, and infrastructure impacts can far exceed those of traditional industrial facilities.
That's Grand Rapids 3rd Ward Commissioner Marshall Kilgore. He says he's been contacted by hundreds of constituents concerned about data centers, wondering when one will be proposed in the city.
So my interest is in understanding whether our current zoning code includes similar clarity, and if not, whether we could explore updates as part of our zoning work.
Grand Rapids Planning Director Kristen Turkelson explained to Kilgore during a recent city commission meeting that the city is evaluating how to address data centers in its zoning ordinances.
So specific to data centers, yes, evaluating current policy is part of the process that we have before us, and we'll challenge the consultant team to support us, but that won't be dissimilar from any other newer type use that communities are grappling with or trying to understand what is best for their community.
There are currently 16 sites across the state being considered for data centers, two of which are in Kent County. I'm David Limbaugh.
A statewide nonprofit organization is working to fill Michigan's teacher shortage by tapping coaches, bus drivers, and lunchroom attendants for a unique training program. WGVU's Dee Morrison reports.
Talent Together operates what leaders call a Grow Your Own program to address the state's teacher shortage. Executive Director Dr. Serena Shivers explains.
We are looking for potential teachers right in the communities that they currently serve. So they may already be a bus driver, maybe they're a parent, maybe they're a teacher's assistant. And what we do is help them find their way to the teaching classroom certification.
Classes are virtual, allowing candidates to receive post-secondary education while living and working in their own communities. The program also includes a year-long apprenticeship with a master teacher.
And our teacher candidates receive 80% of a teacher's salary and full benefits during that apprenticeship year.
Since its launch in 2022, it has placed 218 teachers, and another 137 will join the teacher workforce at the end of the school year. Applications are now open for the group's next cohort.
Those applications opened November 10th. They closed January 7th. We are already close to 1,000 applicants, but there's still time. If you're interested, the website is MI for Michigan, talenttogether.org.
I'm Dee Morrison.
With the holiday season now upon us, there are lots of festivities to enjoy. As you do so, the Grand Rapids Fire Department is reminding residents to stay safe. WGVU's Jennifer Moss reports they're offering up some key fire prevention tips.
The holiday season is in full swing with lots of gatherings and fun times to enjoy, and the Grand Rapids Fire Department wants to make sure residents play it safe. The department's news release says that the top three causes of home fires in Grand Rapids are unattended cooking, improper disposal of smoking materials, and heat too close to things that can burn. That includes electrical issues. Fire Marshal Bill Smith has a few tips. He says to help prevent fires, stay in the kitchen when cooking and never leave food unattended on the stove, especially when frying or boiling. Fires start quickly and can spread fast. Be careful with smoking materials. Use metal or glass ashtrays, and never throw ashes or cigarette butts into plants or outside by dry leaves. He also advises using space heaters safely. Keep heaters away from curtains, furniture, and blankets. Fire Marshal Smith says, quote, "Fires don't take holidays, and most of them can be prevented." He adds, "These small steps save lives." I'm Jennifer Moss.
Muskegon is not giving City Attorney John C. Schreier a gold watch to thank him for over 40 years of service. WGVU's Phil Dawson reports they are instead renaming a street in his honor.
Thank you for your many years of service, Councilor Schreier.
Come on.
At John C. Schreier's last city commission meeting as full-time city attorney, a proclamation from Muskegon Mayor Ken Johnson.
We hereby express our profound gratitude to John C. Schreier for his exemplary public service and legal counsel to the city, providing guidance that have shaped important decisions impacting the future of this community.
And in addition, the traffic circle outside the Parmeter Law Firm, where Schreier is a part owner and has an office, is renamed in his honor.
We shall dedicate and name the Terrace Street Traffic Circle as John C. Schreier Circle, as a public reminder of his community services.
I want to thank you because it has been my pleasure to represent the city of Muskegon.
Schreier started as assistant city attorney in 1984, became the city attorney in 2001.
In appreciation of the decades of steady counsel to the city, it is fitting that Mr. Schreier be recognized for his many contributions.
This is quite an honor. It is deeply, deeply appreciated.
I'm Phil Dawson.
Forest Hills Public School officials, families, and students broke ground on the district's new aquatic center on Wednesday. WGVU's David Limbaugh was there.
This community came together for a $340 million bond, which really made this project something that was doable and amazing.
Forest Hills Public Schools Superintendent Ben Kirby says the district's new aquatic center has been in the works since November of 2023, with the passage of a bond that funds capital improvements through 2031. The $50 million aquatic center, currently being constructed next to the Forest Hills Fine Arts Center, will feature two pools, an observation deck, spectator seating, locker rooms, and a multi-purpose room.
This new facility will allow us to have competitions while we also have community in a different pool at the same time.
Kirby says the district and community outgrew the original aquatic center some time ago.
We have three high schools. We have a lot of kids that are interested in our swim teams, but we also have a lot of infants and younger children that are learning how to swim. We have many seniors in the community as well that really look to a facility to swim in.
The Aquatic Center is expected to open July of 2028. No decision has been made about what will happen to the old Aquatic Center. I'm David Limbaugh.
The Muskegon waterfront development involving Fisherman's Landing and Mart Dock has been complicated and controversial, with public hearings, land swaps, and property deals. As WGVU's Dee Morrison reports, there's now a webpage updating the project's timeline.
Staff at the Muskegon City Manager's Office have created an outline of the Ports and Parks project on the Connect Muskegon webpage. Earlier this month, city commissioners approved the development agreement and rezoned two parcels accommodating waterfront industrial use. The outline details next steps, such as keeping Fisherman's Landing Campground open through the 2026 season and performing appraisals for several properties. The city plans to close on the new waterfront public space on 3rd Street in early 2026, with limited public access through the summer. It will begin the due diligence period for the purchase of the Verplank property to create a nature preserve. Fisherman's Landing boat launch and amenities will remain accessible. The outline also notes future plans for community input and discussions on the various aspects of the project. Updates will be added to Connect Muskegon as they become available. I'm Dee Morrison.
Coming up soon, WGVU's Shelley Irwin visits the Dream Lab at Girl Scouts of Michigan Shore to Shore, but first, news from around the state. A state House committee held a hearing on Wednesday on Republican-sponsored bills to repeal Michigan's so-called red flag law. That law allows authorities to use a court order to seize guns from people deemed a risk to themselves or others. We have more from Rick Pluta.
The law to allow temporary extreme risk protection orders was enacted last year when Democrats controlled the legislature. It was in response to mass shootings and other gun violence. Republican Representative James DeSena, the repeal bill sponsor, says the law is open to abuse against people who have not been convicted of a crime.
And I'm here to say that there's a better way to handle this than taking guns away from law-abiding citizens.
Kelly Dillahay is with End Gun Violence Michigan. She says repealing the red flag law would be out of step with what the public wants.
They want safety, they want prevention, and they want lives saved, not regrets after the fact.
There were no committee votes on the bills, and hearings may continue on the question in the new year. I'm Rick Pluta.
A federal judge ruled against Michigan's efforts to shut down an oil pipeline running through the Straits of Mackinac on Wednesday. Colin Jackson has more.
Since 2019, Michigan has worked to shut down the decades-old Line 5 oil pipeline between the U.S. and Canada. State officials claim Enbridge Energy, the pipeline's owner, failed to maintain safety standards, violating the company's original agreement with the state. The state argues it has a legal duty to protect public safety and the Great Lakes. But the judge ruled that pipeline regulations from the federal government and treaty law between the U.S. and Canada supersede Michigan policies. Enbridge welcomes the decision. The state is considering an appeal. A separate case over the matter is still playing out in state court. I'm Colin Jackson in Lansing.
Focus West Michigan is brought to you by listeners like you. To support this show and everything we do here, visit WGVUnews.org and click the donate button. And for a weekly dose of news right to your inbox, sign up for the WGVU newsletter. WGVU's Shelley Irwin visited the Girl Scouts of Michigan Shore to Shore's Dream Lab for a tour with the CEO.
Roving Mike takes you to the Girl Scouts of Michigan Shore to Shore, their Dream Lab. formally opening in January. CEO Vivian Termott with Girl Scout Comments, of course, taking us on a tour, and you might even hear from a Girl Scout. Take a listen. All right, just pulled in off of 29th Street, and I'm at a Dream Lab. Ready, set, dream, along with, of course, you, Vivian. And do dreams come true?
Absolutely. Through hard work, perseverance, and a lot of collaboration, dreams absolutely come true.
Let's do the 101s. Tell me about your Girl Scouts.
All right. We have just about 6,000 Girl Scouts across 30 counties in West and Northern Michigan, and a great many of them are here in Kent County. So we've built this Dream Lab here for them to access and enjoy.
How do you describe a Dream Lab before we go for a tour?
Sure. It is a program center designed for Girl Scouts by Girl Scouts. So focusing on STEM activities, all kinds of hands-on activities, and a place to just be together.
Talk to me about expand on that lab part of it.
Sure. So we are sitting right now in a beautiful STEM lab. So this is a great space for us. It's multifunctional. We can do all kinds of activities here, anything you can imagine, and we're going to let the girls decide. It's a space to do a lot of hands-on. So we're moving away from a lot of screen work, because that's what girls spend a lot of time doing at school and at home. So it's back to basics, hands-on, tactile experiences that they can really ground themselves in.
In general, what did it take to make the doors open, to walk into this Dream Lab and say, ready, set, we're here?
Oh, it took years of work, collaboration, an incredibly supportive board helped make this a reality. Incredible community partners helped fund this, and we also made our own strategic investment. It was a $1.6 million project that we're in right now. It's an investment in the girls of West Michigan and their future.
You want to go for a tour?
Absolutely. Let's do it.
I'm going to start with what may be my favorite. Do you have a room where, like, your girls can broadcast?
Absolutely. Future Shelley Irwin's in the making right here. This is the media booth. It is a full podcasting booth. So we've got fantastic equipment, top of the line, and the girls are here to use their voice. What we want them to know is what they have to say is important. So advocating for oneself, speaking up, asking tough questions, and using your voice. That's what's happening in the media podcast booth.
Be it listening. All right, let's do a little walk around. Where are we going?
So I think right here, we are in what we call the STEM Lab. So this is an opportunity for girls to get together and do all kinds of things, hands-on projects. Something fun we have already set up over there is called the Chomp Saw. So it is a child-friendly jigsaw that you use as cardboard, and you can make all kinds of things. We've made dinosaurs and gliders. We'll do projects like that, as well as coding. We have some simple coding projects here, everything from coding to sewing. So we'll let the girls decide what appeals to them. And as you can see, when you look at this space, it's uniquely Girl Scout. It's pink and green. So these curved alcoves, these booths are built in. It's designed to feel like a really, truly special place for girls.
I knew there'd be a campfire.
Absolutely. We are Girl Scouts, so this is the campfire corner. So what we're doing is, you see this make-believe campfire. It's roaring, but what we know is when we sit in a circle and we share our stories, that's how we build connection. So this is a space for girls to collaborate, sit, talk, and imagine what it might be like to be outdoors under the stars. So this is a first way to get comfortable with the concept of outdoor and all those wonderful activities. We also have the knot time wall there, where we are teaching girls that something that looks insurmountable, like one of those knots, is actually an opportunity. It's a challenge, right?
Which is what you give your girls.
That's right. We give them challenges so that they can develop their strength and confidence. And this is right next to the Freedom Climber. This wall is, it looks like a rock climbing wall, but it's a rock climbing wall that met a treadmill. So it continues to spin, and you never quite reach the top. But what it's a great metaphor for is that there's always a challenge. There's always the next race, as you know, right? So there's always another challenge, and it's more about the journey than reaching that destination.
Well, there is a screen here. Vivian.
Let me tell you about this. This is called the Draw Alive. So what we do here is there are all kinds of backgrounds. We're looking at the dinosaur screen right now. And what we do is we invite our Girl Scouts to draw or color in, design their very own dinosaur, whatever that looks like in their imagination.
Okay, so you're going to do a demonstration?
Absolutely. You draw what's in your imagination, you put it on the screen, and lo and behold...
There it comes! Here comes Dino Vivian!
It animates, and there it is on screen. So what we're saying to girls is, what's in your imagination can come to life. What you have to say is creative and needs to be shared with the world. So what is it inside of you? Is it a great story? Is it music? Is it an invention? There's all kinds of greatness inside each one of us, and we want them to activate that.
This is going to be hard to leave, but how do you know this is working?
Oh, when we see the faces and the smiles on girls as they come in and they realize there's no other place like this and it's just for them. That's how we know. They're engaged and they feel welcome here.
Let's go to the shop.
Let's do it.
I'll be anxious to see what is your best seller here.
Absolutely. I think the number one thing that drives folks into the shop are all the badges, right?
Yes.
Because this is a wall of accomplishment. We know that Girl Scouts must complete the 5 steps to achieve earn each one of these badges. So when they come in, they know that they've set a goal and they've accomplished it. So this is really incredible. This is an opportunity for them to learn about project management, goal setting, and whatever they can dream, they can do.
But you've got beanies for sale, you've got brownie aprons, right, and more.
Absolutely. There are all kinds of great things that you can purchase here at the Girl Scout Dream Lab shop. You've got the uniform, but then there are all these wonderful additions. You're right, you've got hats and socks and backpacks that complement the uniform, all part of the sisterhood.
We have made the Four Corner Tour. It's exciting, Vivian. Here we are, December. What's next?
Oh, January, we're so excited because we will be launching all of the program opportunities for girls here in the Dream Lab. So there'll be 3 tracks. You can come in with your troop-led programs. You can come in and staff. We have some brand new staff that's just recently joined us, and they will be leading some dynamic programs. And then we also have partner programs. So we are inviting some subject matter experts in to teach us about all kinds of interesting things. So 3 different tracks, lots of opportunity.
What do you continue to need from the community in 2026?
Support. We know that the cookie program is our key fundraiser, which launches on January 9th. So when you purchase cookies from a local Girl Scout, you are helping fund her adventures, her dreams, and support all of the incredible opportunities that Girl Scouting makes possible.
Okay, save the best for last. We have a couple of Girl Scouts to give their anticipatory comments on hanging out at the Dream Lab. Give me your name and your troop.
Hi, I'm Bella from Troop 4932.
Hi, I'm Iva, and I'm from Troop 8184.
Iva, what do you think? You're going to take part of this Dream Lab in 2026, and what does this do for you?
Of course. I'm so excited to spend so much time with my troop here and to, like, try out all the different things, maybe try sewing, maybe try the podcast room. I'm just so excited to just try it all.
I think this is, like, a great opportunity, especially since, like, we haven't really had anything like this ever before. And I think just the range of opportunities is amazing, especially with that one track that they invite experts in. That can be really helpful. I mean, I've personally had a bunch of help when experts come, and I think just opportunities across the board.
This has been Focus West Michigan from WGVU for Thursday, December 18, 2025. I'm Joe Bilecki. Our audio operations manager is Rick Bierling, and our news and public affairs director is Patrick Center. Don't forget to like and subscribe, and we'll be back with more news and events in West Michigan tomorrow. Thanks for listening.